Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Today's January 20th, 2011. Actually, it's our one-year anniversary tomorrow, but today we're going to do it. And Bill and I are here. We're going to wait for a couple people to call, but in the meantime, we're going to play this song, and it's dedicated
to our friends. This is one from Europe, and the gentleman's name that performs it is
it's a group,
Axel Rudy, and because it's European, I'm probably going to say it. The last name is P-E-L-L.
Pell. Axel Rudy Pell is the name.
All right, then.
And the name of the song is Forever Angel. And this will be on for a few minutes here, and then we should have our first caller by then. Mm. All right, thank you for listening.
From our European visitors and friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Amigo, I think our European brothers got a pretty darn good hit on their hand here. And, you know, we obviously understand who that's directed at, but I believe that any true biker can see himself in that song. If you're some yuppie and all that, perhaps the song's gone over your head, but any guy out there who is working his butt off to keep his motorcycle running, doing the best he can, trying to make the runs, I think he can feel the, he can put himself in that record there. What do you
Absolutely. Think? That's one of the reasons I chose that song.
Good choice then tonight. We don't always agree, but tonight you're right on the button.
And the reason I chose that song is because of the things I've been doing, going north and doing south and all over, and you know, and Saturday I'll be doing that other thing.
With some of our friends up there.
And then to also plug that thing in February 20th when Rusty and Sonny and Jim Brown are going to do that.
We're talking about Jim Brown, the football player for the Cleveland Browns. We're talking about Jim Brown, the man. That man hit hard.
Right. And I've unmuted Jan. Are you there, Jan?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely perfect. Hopefully we have no demons tonight.
Really? Yeah, you know, I was a little bit unsure of whether or not my voice would even work because I had a breathing tube down my throat for a couple hours this afternoon over at the VA hospital. And I just want to say that thank you to the OR staff over at the Durham VA hospital. They did just a wonderful job. I am just so totally impressed by them. They were complete professionals. Friendly. It was just a, you know, they made what could be a real unpleasant, painful experience just a painful one. But hey, I've got those hydrocodone, which is like a Vicodin, to help me out. So I'm sure we'll get through this just fine.
And I really want to thank you for calling in because, you know, Screwdriver and I are very involved in the local VA. And every now and then I got to hear these veterans complaining, I had to wait too long, this and this. But we forget that every single hour there are people down the VA helping veterans out. So much good is being done by a local VA hospital, but every now and then one person complains for something minuscule. They forget that they're taking the pain away. They're saving our veterans' lives, so... Thank you for reminding all of us that the VA does good work, Jan.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've had my occasions to complain, too. You know, but it really is the little stuff that they mess up on. The big stuff, they do real well.
Right.
Well, then you worry about the time constraints. Or, I had to wait so long for an appointment. If it was critical, they had to get you in there. If not... Hey, you know what? You're going to take your time in line like everybody else. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have no complaints today. I mean, you know, a surgeon, I think, is top-notch. Top-notch. I mean, what they do here in Durham is they walk across the street from Duke Medical Center, which is one of the best in the world. Okay, so the VA center in Durham gets to share some of the best surgeons in the world. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? That's great.
You know, the only sad thing about this conversation was that when the so many people came home from Vietnam, these vets were stacked up in the hallway. We simply were not prepared for the influx of people coming back. But I got to give our government credit, and I don't say that too often. They really have made the VA an absolute wonderful organization, Jan.
And believe me, he doesn't really say that often.
I ain't that crazy about the VA, but still.
Oh, right. Well, you know, I mean, the veterans deserve excellent treatment in every encounter, and I hope that they work to make that happen. You know, like
the Screwdriver and I are involved in many veterans programs. I believe in April... We have a run out of the date and all that, from the VA hospital to opening of a new veteran center here in Oceanside. Normally the run ends up at my shop. However, this year we're talking about, because they're opening up a new veteran center, we kind of want to bring all the vets in wheelchairs as we can to really showcase a new veteran center.
Ooh, nice. Nice. How does it look? Is it a nice-looking building, too?
It's a building that was used by the Oceanside Police Department for many years, but they renovated every single thing on it. It's really nice. And by April...
And it was all done with donations.
Yeah. All veterans
donating.
No, not just veterans. All citizens donating to bring this program together. Here in our area here, Oceanside, we don't really have a strong veteran center. We've had little clinics, little outreaches. This is going to really help the vets, how to get their claims filed, how to get treatment and all that. I'm so looking forward to this. It's going to be amazing.
Excellent.
It's just like they have a truck driving school on Camp Pendleton for the guys when they get out if they want to do that.
Uh-huh.
It's totally free.
Wow. Hey, you know, Camp Pendleton is quite the drive for you, isn't it? Quite the ride?
No, it's actually a mile and a half out my front door.
Oh.
It's about 10 miles from Bill's.
From my shop, it's about 1 mile.
Oh, hey, so you guys, if you ever need something to fall back on, there you go.
That's true.
Well, I believe if they're going to put me in the front line, it's going to be a strange day in hell, I'm telling you right now. I personally believe that we have got so many weapons stockpiled that I want some guarantee from our government that they've utilized all of those weapons in storage before they contact me to get on the front line again. That's how I feel about that one.
You're
ready to go back, aren't you?
Sure, I'll go in a heartbeat.
Should I ever go back tomorrow, but I don't know.
I can handle a scope.
I went in 1969, and I didn't care where I went and what I did, but as I'm getting older, I'm really not real thrilled with the fact that our young sons and daughters are all going overseas when I'm not, again, really sure of what's going on in that sandbox over there. I'm a little bit more apprehensive, but when I was certainly younger, I didn't care where they went. I thought I was invisible. I thought I was impervious to pain. But as I'm getting older, I worry about the next generation. I'm just a little bit more cautious, I guess. Not for guys like Screwdriver and I. We could go. But I just worry about these young men and women coming back. And you and I see them all the time.
Absolutely.
And being this close. And we work in the VA hospitals.
You know, I told you about that night. I was downtown, and the boys in blue were all in full force. And I walked around the corner, and I went down to the next corner. And as I was walking by the parking lot, there was a car about 3 feet from the wall, and curled up under the bumper was a guy that just got back from Iraq, drunk, passed out, and I stopped one of the cars, and luckily I stopped one of the good guys. They put him in the car, they drove him to the front gate, and they made sure he got back to the barracks. But if I'd have stopped one of the guys that always gives us a hassle, they'd have took him to the Vista jail, and they'd have had to go pick him up 2 or 3 days later.
You know, I want to point out, a couple of years ago, we had an incident on Highway 76, which is just very close to Screwdriver and I. One of the veteran motorcycle organizations, one of their members, pulled his motorcycle off the side of the road, jumped in the bushes. And people driving by saw that, so they called the Oceanside Police Department, which I want to be absolutely clear about, took the time to call me up. I went down there immediately, and I'm yelling, hey, where are you? And I heard a voice, you say one more word, mister, I'm going to shoot you where you stand. And I went, holy shit. I was able to contact two Navy SEAL friends of mine. They came rushing down. We talked this guy out of the bushes. I contacted his motorcycle club. They came down, took his motorcycle. We took this man down to the VA hospital. OPD did not want to put him in jail, did not want to handcuff him. The man was having just a little breakdown. But they got him right to the hospital in time, so I that's pretty class act on their part, you know.
Sometimes they do good, sometimes they do bad.
Yeah.
Most of the time they do bad.
I understand. But we gotta make it good when it says good, you know.
That's it.
You know, I've got a couple of things that, you know, civilians, you know, people who have never been in, for whatever reason, I'd like to share one thing with them. That is very important, and that is that you may not agree with a reason for any war, but but please do support the troops. They're not the ones asking for the war. They're not the politicians. So when they come home, please say, welcome home, thanks for your service, and no, you don't have to be a veteran to say it. They will appreciate it. I appreciate it.
It's just like, yeah, well, yeah. That's just like going to the VA. Like Bill and I say, if you're walking up to the front door and a couple guys are sitting out there in a wheelchair, don't put your head down, put your hand out.
Just say hello to them. Hey, man, where are you from? You know, Kansas, whatever. Good. What service were you in? How are you doing? Make eye contact. Please do not look over their heads because you're uncomfortable because they're in the wheelchair. It could be you or I. So just take a moment and say hello to these people. You don't need to make a long conversation, make new friends, but if you can, just say hello. And again, we have several friends in some of the dance clubs, strip clubs, and we ask these girls to stop by. And I'm going to tell you, when they stop by and I come by later, they all say, hey, Bill, when are your friends coming back? They don't care when I come back. They want to know when my friends come back. But what the hell, you know?
Well, I tell you, if you dyed your hair, get rid of the beard, you'd be okay.
You know, I also want to talk very quickly, how many women are coming home now disfigured? A woman, and I do a lot of counseling down there, a woman can see a man missing an arm or a leg, and a woman, based upon his character, can see a whole man there. But we men are so weak, we want our girlfriends to look like Barbie doll. We are so insecure at ourselves, we have to have this image. And it's tough on the women that are disfigured. But again, I talk to beautiful women, they say, I don't see a problem with a man losing an arm or a leg or his face is disfigured. I can see a man. Unfortunately, we men still are superficial, I guess. Do you agree with me on that, Jan?
Well, you know, I really hold a grudge against John McCain about that. I don't know if you know the complete background of his first wife.
No. I knew he was, you know, Vietnam, he was a POW, yada, 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 but no, I didn't think about his first wife at all.
Well,
I voted for him, schmuck.
Yeah, she was in a car wreck, and I guess that she got disfigured, and my personal feeling about this, my personal opinion, is that he knew that he was going to be running for elected office, and he wanted, what do you call it when you put some eye candy on your arm?
Eye candy on your arm.
That's close enough. Yeah,
that's close enough.
And I think that was the whole thing. He wanted a Barbie doll on his arm, and you know. When he was running for office, he knew that he'd be doing that. And from what I understand, his first wife was a really nice lady. She was great.
You know, Jan, I'm a member of the Republicans, and I vote straight Republican everywhere because that's the way I feel about it. But when our new president was going to run, I said, oh, a black guy. He's going to get the Mexican, Latino vote. He's going to get the women. He's going to get all this stuff here.
Sure.
So I went down to the Republican Party in San Diego, and I spoke to them. And I said, I think we need to offset, because this man, every black man is going to vote for this man here. We need to offset and get the brown vote. We can find somebody in New Mexico, a lieutenant governor, some woman of color as our vice president with McCain. And they told me, well, we're going to look at this. A month later, they came back and told me, Bill, we've selected this snowflake from Alaska. She's going to help us get the women's vote. I could not understand the correlation. Am I talking about a Latina from New Mexico, and now we got this white girl from Alaska? I don't think the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans and the Colombians and all these South American people, I don't think they're going to run out and vote for a white girl.
They
want to press the color, and I think that's what brought our man in today. Once again, I speak to the Republican Party. I'm like talking to the wall.
Yeah.
But I stay, and I argue, and I try to do what I can. I think public party is the way to go.
Yeah. You know, I am not a fan of state-sponsored And that's an important word here, state-sponsored political parties. Because it all comes down to they pass legislation which will ensure the monopoly, actually the duopoly. They do not allow a third-party candidate to get in there and have any competitive edge whatsoever. They make it really difficult for independents to get on the ballot. So I'm not a fan of either Democrat or Republican. You know, I'll look at them as individuals.
And there was a lady running as a third party, and I can't think of her name right now, but I listened to what she said because she made a lot of sense. And again, I don't know the lady's name, but she's pretty impressive. The reason, do you know the lady's name?
No. I just said cool. You know, I mean,
okay. That's
great because, you know, I like to look at each and every candidate. I don't pick the, you know how some states you can go a straight party ticket?
Yes.
And just make one mark on the ballot and then turn it in. I don't do that.
You know, McCain was not a good speaker. He became a little better towards the end. Palin was a good speaker. But Obama, that man just, he spoke, people listened. It goes all the way back to when JFK was debating against Nixon on the first live television.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon showed up with a 5 o'clock shadow. People saw it on TV. JFK was freshly shaved, good suit, blah, blah, blah. The experts have said Nixon won the debate, but JFK took on the presidency because the people got to see him. And I think because of McCain's, I don't know, he's a professional speaker, but he's not as good as Obama, and people took him because Obama just spoke better. And that's part of our history here.
Wow. Hey, you know, I'd like to ask, what is going on with, I believe it's Philip is involved in a lawsuit, and I'm really interested in this. And
yeah, it's sitting on your city attorney's desk.
It's a class action, correct?
There's 66 people. And there's going to be I'm going to add 12 more to it because of that discrimination thing 2 weeks ago on a Sunday in the bar. We came in. I was already in there. The guys came in the front. They pulled up. They all had patches on. As they came in the front door, they came through the back door, pulled the owner. Pulled them off to the side and told them, if you don't get these guys out of here, we're going to pull your license.
That's the biggest common tactic they use here in Southern California. We'll pull your liquor license if you don't have these type of people out of here.
Right.
You lose your liquor license, you shut down. You're done.
Right.
And what are you going to do?
Yeah, you remember Braveheart?
Right.
I guess that the local authority could go ahead and have sex with a guy's wife.
New wife. Yeah. Wife.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm sorry. What was wrong with that, Jen?
Well, the thing that was wrong with it is it wasn't Bill, but it was the local authority, right, Bill?
Hank has his privilege, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, so have we really progressed in the last 500 years? You know, or are we going backwards with all this?
I think we're going back.
Too much.
I think we're going backwards.
Too much.
Jan, let me ask you something. I'm going to ask you and I'm going to tell you my opinion, but just I'm going to speak slowly so you can think about this for a second. How old were you? Where were you at when you started to become disillusioned in America, when you started to have questions and doubting our government?
I can tell you
an incident.
I can tell you the exact incident. I don't know exactly what the date was.
Skip the date, just
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming. You know, it was four dead in Ohio. When Kent State University, when the National Guard opened fire on American civilians who were doing nothing but a peaceful protest.
That's correct.
That is exactly it. You know, but since then, I have also, you know, I look at things from two sides, actually all sides. You know, I have also seen great moments in American history since then as well. So, you know, I cannot say that totally disillusioned me. But I do have to say...
I want to tell you, I was naive.
Yeah?
Until the point when J.F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, that's...
Not because of assassination per se, but before he was assassinated, the press covered everything up. Nothing was allowed. And after Kennedy died, you started reading things in the press about stuff we never, ever heard about. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how is this going on? The press took a different view after Kennedy died as the information out to the people. And it just made me realize, well, wait a minute, our government doesn't do that. Our senators, congressmen don't do that. Yes, they do. That just gave me an eye awakening, you know?
Yes, they do. They do a lot of shit that nobody knows about. You know, there's more... It's just like being in a courtroom, Bill. There's more deals going on in the back of the courtroom than there is in the front of the courtroom.
Well, that's a fact, Jack.
You know, it's like them two guys in New York that the judge told them, bring $50,000 and we'll put you on probation. You don't show up with $50,000, you're going to do 2 years each.
Talked about your expertise as spending more time in court than I have, though, but go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm just saying that.
That's what
I'm telling you.
What is that lawsuit about? You know, tell me what the chart... What you're charging, is that federal or state?
No, it's going through the state first. According to Ashby, we're going to hit the state first. Ashby's the attorney that's helped me wrote everything up. And
are you seeking injunctive relief or what are you asking?
Injunctive relief against the motorcycle profiling. That's why I've been watching that stuff up in Washington.
Okay,
so we're trying to see how that goes, and if that goes, then we'll start lobbying to do the same thing down here. We can talk to Duncan Hunter.
Yes.
We can talk to Bob Filner, and then we got a couple other people. New York Mike is. We can get his contacts. We got a lot of contacts with the politicians right now, and I haven't run it by Doug from Ride to Repeal yet, but we're working on it with the legislative guys on trying to get, you know, that guy Harrick. I put a couple calls into him, but I'm playing phone tag. So once we get everybody and see what's going on, right now it's sitting on a city attorney's desk. I had an appointment and then with the mayor and the chief, and they decided that they wanted to talk to him further because they asked me what I wanted. I said, I want all these guys to stop this shit. They're going to lay off 10 guys.
Is there money involved or...
If you remember when I told you when I started to do this, when I talked to the attorney and I asked him, what's it going to cost me to get this rolling? And he goes, no, they're going to pay us.
Right. So
I don't know. I left that up to him on what he's going to decide what he wants.
Right.
Let me stop there for a second because I believe timing is everything. And I mentioned to you we have an event at my shop on Sunday, Screwdriver,
right.
And it's a firefighter that passed away. A very popular firefighter. We're going to have a celebration of life. And I'm going to speak first, and then we're going to bring up the mayor of Oceanside.
Right.
And then we're going to bring up the fire captain of Oceanside. And then the fourth speaker, third after me, is the chief of police here.
Right.
I should point out to you, because timing is everything, our chief of police recently came home and his wife had a gun and was shooting at other cops.
Right.
I might suggest that you... limit your conversation. You'll be sitting right next to him, right up front there, you know. But just suggesting to you and talk to lawyers first, but he's got a lot on his head. I think, you know, you should think what you're going to say. I ain't telling you what to do. I'm just pointing it out.
I'm just going to say hello, Bill.
There you go. I appreciate that. And then we're going to go up to Dana Point, about a 20-mile ride, give or take, and we're going to throw a lay into the ocean to measure this guy's life and all that. So it's going to be a couple of New York Mike's coming down to speak too. I just heard that one the other day. Like that, so
yeah, it's just, I mean, like Bill says, timing is everything. And when I found out they were going to lay off these guys, because actually right now there's five guys that have a DUI. They're riding around in a car with a gun. They should be on desk duty. But because they say, because of all the stuff that's going on with the motorcycle clubs and stuff in town, they need him in the car out patrolling the streets.
Jan, I want you to try to pitch a screwdriver this coming Sunday. Sitting there in the front row, chief of police, chief of the fire department, and the mayor. And screwdriver right there. That's going to be a rogue gallery of all rogue galleries, I think.
Are you going to be sitting behind him with your hands at the ready in order to put them over his mouth?
I'll be initiating the conversation. I'll be inviting everybody to join me to celebrate the national anthem. We're going to bring bagpipes up. We Irish love the bagpipes. And so we'll do that. Then afterwards, I'm going to turn it over. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the actually, I haven't made a speech yet. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the Star Spangled Banner. I'm going to talk about the national anthem, what that means. And because that song is really, it's a question. Francis Scott Key was captured by the English, and the battle was going on. He was trying to look through the rocket's red glare. He only had one question: is our flag still there? And I've got one of those fire departments. That garrison flag?
Yeah, the garrison flag.
Garrison flag, the biggest flag in the world. We're going to have that flying down there.
That's the garrison flag Bill's talking about is the one that's hanging off the hook and ladder that that Fran took the pictures of.
We did the wall.
Right.
So I'll talk a little bit about that. So then I'm going to bring up afterwards a friend of ours, Pastor Z. He's going to say a few nice words, and then I'm going to turn it over to the head of the Wind and Fire, the Firefighters Motorcycle Club, and have him kind of MC the rest of the event so I can get down and get close to the screwdriver, by the way. So all he's got to do is maintain till I get through the national anthem.
Okay, and you know the Scottish and English love the bagpipes also,
yeah.
Right, Evely? Right. Now
we're gonna end it up with the bagpipes doing Amazing Grace because we Irish got to have that. So just let you know.
Okay, the legislation that might get through in Washington is of critical importance. And it may become landmark legislation for all the motorcycle groups all across America. If this goes through, you know, I mean, because that's what legislators in other states like to look at. How did the bill fare in this state where it was introduced? And
well,
if they see that it was overwhelming support for it, they're going to say, yeah, I'll introduce that. I'll sponsor it. I'll co-sponsor it. So
that's what happened with the Pavley bill.
I know. Well,
dumped on it.
We're afraid that that's what's going to happen. We're afraid it's going to ripple across the states.
Well, the states are so hurting for cash. I think every fine in California has gone up. I forgot how much percentage and all that. But somebody's mentioned to me that the helmet laws jumped up. That fine is stupid now. It was minor, but it's going ridiculous. The states are strapped for cash. But why do we got to be the – why is the motorcycle community – why are we going to be the ones paying it all, you know? I don't know. And I shouldn't pick on that, too, because we do have the handicap parking, that's jump sky high.
Well, I have that bill. If you want to talk about that, I got it. I can pull it up.
You have a handicap? I always thought you did.
Yeah, I got a handicap.
I thought you did.
Just keep paying your taxes. My check comes every month.
You know.
And you, Phil, you typed something into the chat. That really is scary. That situation where the cop.
Oh, the no search warrant? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All they have to do is say, well, I thought I smelled some marijuana, so that's why I busted down the door, shot the guy's dog, And then when the guy appeared to be a little bit upset about it, I shot him too.
Yep.
And his grandmother.
Yep.
Once you get your buttons pushed and you're emotionally off base, they can use that against you so quickly. And personally, I have a bull mastiff and a Rottweiler. If you hurt my dogs...
Well, actually, if they get out again and they go to the school, you won't have any dogs.
God almighty. For my dogs to get out, for me to get my dog back from the DMV, it's now $100 a dog every time these yahoos go out for a walk, for God's sakes. That's what the Humane Society wants me to get my dogs back. $100 a piece. God. My dogs go out next time. I tell them just keep on going because I'm about it. Actually, Jim, my two dogs, they went down to the local junior high school, and the school let all of the classes out, and everybody played with my two dogs. They were nice enough for the junior high school to call me and say, we found your dog's tag and blah, blah, blah. When they came down there, teachers, students, custodial staff, everybody was outside petting and playing with my two dogs. My dogs never got so much attention in their life. They loved it down there. And I got some big-sized dogs, but they're very well trained. I've never raised my hand to my dog. It's voice commands, repetitive commands, over and over and over. A lot of guys go up and say, well, you're a giant bull mastiff. He's vicious. I have my dog sit, and I take my hand, I swing at him as hard as I can, stop an inch from his face, and they go, your dog doesn't move. Why would he? I've never hit him. He doesn't associate my hand coming down. That's the way you raise an animal, with love, but repetitious commands. You got to be firm, but you got to let them know you are the alpha dog in the pack.
Take control of the situation.
Same way my children. My daughter referred to me as Mr. Spock because when she wanted to ask me a question, my father military hard because I said so. That's all I ever got in my life. My daughter asked me about drinking. Did I ever drink? We went down to the library, and we did research on drinking. Except for some aid to glaucoma, my daughter said, I don't see any real reason for drinking. Now, did you drink, Dad? And I told her I did not have access to the information she has. When I was growing up, we had somebody like the Marlboro Man and James Bond. These guys had a martini and a cigarette, and they got the beautiful babes. I didn't have the information you had. Same thing came to marijuana. I talked about everything. We had Dr. Timothy Leary, in my age, tune in, turn in, drop out. We had academic scholars convincing us it was okay. So my daughter did information on that research, and she decided on her own drugs and alcohol and cigarettes were not a good thing. I was proud of it, dealing it like that, than if I'm like my father, because I told you so. I never was going to have my children raised like that.
Well, you know, we've got some interesting things going on this year. You know, it's gonna be really interesting with all the new blood.
The one thing, not to interrupt you, but the one thing that when you were to go back to what you were talking about with the motorcycle profiling and stuff here,
right?
It goes back to what they were talking about, and I talked about it the other day. Is that California Step Act, and it's a procedure where if this guy decides upon his notice of determination that he determines to belong to a criminal street gang, he can give you a notice that informs you that you are notified and mentioned by the written officer the club's name is a criminal street gang engaging in a pattern of criminal activity within the means of Penal Code Section 186.22. And then he completes a proof of service, and they include your fingerprint and photo as a gang member. And then when they designate it, it's easy for the prosecutor to prove because you were given the notice. And that lays the foundation, and then enter the form into evidence, your photo and fingerprint. You're done.
That's absolutely. You know, remember a while back we had the street gangs and the courts declare them completely illegal. They cannot even get together. They couldn't wear the colors.
Right.
They couldn't dress. They couldn't. Two of them couldn't ever get together in a group.
Nope.
And none of us paid attention because they were street gangs. Who cared? Well, goddamn, we care now, because
yep.
now they're looking at going after us the same way.
The same way.
What's it going to be? You and I can't be at the same bar together.
Yeah.
You know, it's and it's, I. Was it three or more? Is going to be the trouble. It just I don't see
yeah.
how.
If
but
three,
again, my rights are going.
If three are together, you're considered what'd they call it? Three
I'm
guys.
Thinking that right now. Yeah, it's
three guys together. I forget. But if you're in a group of three, you're fucked.
They can put a junction against you, and bam, that's just it.
Well, you know.
And again, let's talk about just a minute. Not that long ago, don't forget what they did to the Mongols.
Mm-hmm.
Just took that right off. They'll never be allowed to wear their colors or say their name or anything again. I'm not defending the Mongols. I'm just saying, though, that our government cannot have the right to go in and just take something.
No, but they have.
If they're committing a crime, arrest them.
Yeah, they happen to lose that one.
Yes, they got good attorneys on that. But that was a shock in my country that they would have this power.
Right,
yeah. You know, recognizing America is very difficult. The thing about the profiling now is that it's not just going to help people who are patch members. The no more profiling will help bikers like myself who are not patch holders. You know, I might run with, you know, a family, so to speak, I might ride with a riding club. It's going to help me as well.
It is. We just recently had an example where the Pastor Z, pastor of a nice church, he has a nice riding club together. One of his signs of his church is a sword.
With a cross on top.
Yes, and
the
flames.
The cross is the handle with flames coming around it.
You know, leading, fighting the truth. Anyway, he had one put on his sissy bar, and of course his whole bike's done with Bikers for Christ, and the whole thing is a Christian bike. Police stopped him, and they gave him, what, 24 hours? Or
no, they gave him like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, he had to go home right away.
He had to go home right away and take it off.
This is a pastor of a church, because he had a sword attached to his sissy bar. What's this guy going to do, you know? But the police said no. If they can attack a pastor, geez, you know. You know, when I get stopped, I just try to tell them where you are at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They leave me right away and go
yeah.
over to you. That's
yeah.
my program
yeah.
anyway.
All that love.
Hey, you know.
But yeah, no, the helmet fine. I think it doubled though. I
heard something like that. Yeah.
It's like $325, I think,
yeah.
right now.
When they said that to me, I know it's over $300. I can't remember now what the changes are. That is going to.
Jen, we have.
Yeah.
We have this guy that he called in, and you're going to enjoy this. This is Merlin, Steve Bianco's brother.
Ah, Merlin!
Yeah,
Merlin,
so
my
you're
buddy
gonna,
Merlin.
He's got a burning desire, and I'm going to give him the mic, and I'll let him know you're on the phone.
Fellow Bolt member, B-O-L-T.
You bet. Bianco's own legal tactic.
Far out.
Oh,
Where are you?
Merlin, that's Jen. She's out of North Carolina.
I know Jen. We've talked a couple of times. How are you?
Merlin, where are you right now?
I'm back in San Diego. Was up north for a little while, and now I'm back in San Diego. I have some interesting, let's put it this way, news, and I've picked this venue to do something kind of unique. No, Bill, I did not call in naked.
Well, that's okay. He told me he was going to give me oral on the phone today, Bill.
You know, and the thing is,
I told him it was
that's
the best offer I had all day.
Yeah,
and
that's true, except for that best offer part. He didn't say that. But anyway, here's what I would like to say.
Go for it. You got it. You're the show.
On Sunday the 16th, this past Sunday, friend of mine, man, I've been best friends with for nearly 40 years now, Dwight Skip Asmus, was killed on Highway 78 with his motorcycle and sidecar. Seven of us were heading out towards Borrego Springs for lunch, and six of us came home. What I would like to say, besides the fact that I'm very, very glad that Harry Clark, who was behind Skip, received some very minor injuries and went home from hospital checkout Monday night and is doing very well, and I'm pleased for that.
Roland Suthi, wasn't he a former professional sidecar racer or something?
Yeah, Harry turns out to have been an English sidecar racer years ago. What I would like to say is, besides Dwight was one of the nice guys of the world, I mean, really nice guys of the world. He's the one where you later on wonder if you ever saw him angry. But the accident happened a little before noon on Sunday on the stretch of Highway 78, about 3 miles or mile and a half east of Scissors Crossing up in the canyons there.
Right.
The emergency responding units were of the highest caliber of professionalism and caring and respect that I have dealt with in a very, very long time. Specifically, a couple of highway patrol officers, Cho and O'Connor especially. He was the first one I dealt with. The EMTs, they came out of Julian and Borrego, and Highway Patrol was out of Borrego and El Cajon. Fire Department, everybody was the guys and ladies that you would hope would be there when you have to deal with something like this. I chose to make these comments on the blog here because, as Bill knows, I've taken my pot shots at the Highway Patrol. And when I thought they earned it, I gave it. They've earned this one, and I need to give it with the same fervor. These were the right people doing the job that none of us really wants to do. And I thank you very much for the opportunity to...
Anytime, my friend, anytime.
...to say this. There has been a little bit of discussion because people don't quite understand sidecars that, yeah, you can lift the wheel and it's called flying the chair and you can still finish the corner. It just, sometimes, as Officer O'Connor said, they call them accidents. The man who drove the truck that Dwight hit is a nice guy and was equally shocked and saddened by the whole thing. He and I have had a couple of discussions. And it's just very, very tough, but it's been, boy, I almost use the word pleasure to deal with the kinds of people that I have dealt with this week. Made me proud again. Made me proud again. And so
Roland,
that's...
Roland,
yes.
Bianco, to take the time to acknowledge something, this is a fact. He does call it right. He calls it wrong when it's done wrong and all that. But I also, like you, I'm not adversarial against the police department.
Me neither.
It's those instances of those officers that abuse their power, that's the one we're making note about. But
agreed.
I absolutely thank you for calling in because the world needs to know there are good people out there. There really does.
Yeah, there are the right people in the right job. That's what I told Officer Cho today. And I said, and there's the wrong ones. And I said, his name was Hannigan.
Not me, the other guy.
I was going to throw it in.
Not me, the other guy.
I meant, of all things, Dwight, not Dwight Hannigan.
The commissioner.
Spike Helmick and Maurice Hannigan.
There you go, Maurice.
But Dwight Spike Helmick and my Dwight Skip Asmus. Yeah, Skip and I played sailboats and sports cars and motorcycles for 40 years, I'm going to miss him for a very long time. But so it goes. None of us get out of this alive. What he, like a few people, did was he's going to leave a very wide wake of this was a nice guy behind him. Anyway, that's my comments on the Highway Patrol and the EMTs. Were great. One or two of them stayed the whole 4 hours like I did out there, just making sure everything was done that we could possibly do right. And Beata Berman, my friend for now many years, she stayed right with me, flew wing on me all day long, made sure I was, flying straight. I want to thank her, too. The other four people in the ride, everybody was equally important, but... and then I understand there's a bit of a memorial going Sunday or on
that's correct,
some
yes.
fire
you
people.
You get chance to visit us, maybe?
Yeah, they'll be actually most. It looks like most of the herd that I ride with, and we are, you know, herds the description. We've been talking about this, and I think the bunch of us are going to be there because we all. Yeah, we just kind of like to pat the head of the people who do the job that is so very, very hard sometimes.
You know, after the boring speeches, we're going to take a ride up to Dana Point, and they want to throw a lay in the ocean in respect for this man here. But I'm actually going to have the chief of police. We're going to have the chief of the fire department. The mayor is going to speak. Actually, I'm going to speak first. And now just recently... New York Mike's coming up to speak, Merlin. I know you don't want to miss that.
My goodness. Actually, no, I don't want to miss that. Mike and I have had a couple of very nice, look, we've grown up, mellowed out kind of discussions the last few months. It's been kind of interesting. And I think Mike has done an awful lot of good. And where earlier on he and I may have disagreed on how to accomplish something, he has continued to do an awful lot of good. And
did you get a chance to get to Mount Soledad 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I did.
I heard Mike was actually made a good speech up there.
Yep, and I was very impressed. It was a nice thing. In fact, I was thinking today that maybe I want to put Dwight's submarine service and a plaque up there for him, along with Wino Willie and President Reagan. Boy, there's a couple of things that shouldn't be screwed with, and that's one of them. And,
yeah.
You know, if you got a problem with a cross here, take a patch of unmodified dirt, and that's yours. Pick any mountaintop you want, and you can keep it that way. You maintain it, and you do whatever you want with it if the cross bothers you. Don't mess with
correct.
This one.
If you want to add something, put your own wall up and acknowledge it. Why take something
exactly.
away from people
yeah.
who are saying, makes
yeah.
me feel good? When I'm on top
yeah.
of Mount Soledad, I feel good.
Yep.
Don't
yep.
take that away from
yep.
me. But I'm not degrading you if you're an atheist. Your own.
But
and
like
I,
you say,
I respect that. But why
like you say, Bill, do something positive.
Yes.
You have always led that. You know, don't just stand there. And, you know, it's not a matter of if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. It's just do something positive. You know, lead, follow, or get out of the way. But
right.
Yeah, that goes back to the day that we were talking earlier about Pastor Z.
Yes, and I know Fred.
He came in, he was fit to be tied. He was swearing.
Oh, you
he
betcha.
Never, he was swearing and all kinds of stuff.
and
Bill
he does know how.
The guy that it is goes,
I've known Fred
world.
Z off and on for a half dozen years. I've heard him. Fred Z was the one that would come to us in Black Sheep and teach people who didn't know what a three-piece patch was or how to deal with the clubs or the officers. And he would teach, you know, basically teach classes on, okay, you want to wear a vest and ride a bike. Here's how that part of the world works. And
yep.
he takes that on as a very serious job to teach people how to deal with the clubs or learn how to not deal with them in many cases. Because it's a subtle batch of rules, and sometimes they're courtesies, sometimes they're worked out in a peace treaty. But either way, he's an impressive individual. And,
you know, Bill and I
for
were,
him to
a
be harassed.
Ago, Bill and I were up at the Easy Rider show.
LA Convention Center.
At the LA Convention Center. And there was both clubs were there, the heavy hitter clubs,
mm-hmm.
were actually talking.
Shaking hands.
And was Fred in the middle of that? Because I suspect he was
came after, but he was surprised when he saw it. And then the other thing, well, the comment I wanted to make when you brought up the patches was, did you see the guys walking around with the Mayan shirts on?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
other guys walking
and
around
the
with the Sons
of
Anarchy shirts?
Yeah.
Hmm.
If you're ignorant, for God's sakes, take the time to find out what you're doing for Merlin,
yeah.
do you know about when Pastor Z came down to San Diego? Do you know anything about his early history?
I've heard a couple of things over the years, and it's one of those stories where the guy starts in, and then 180 degrees, and 10 years later, he's standing at the top of the heap.
I'm going to tell you exactly. He came down. In the old days, my shop was closed on Sundays. He came down. Was he 5 foot?
Yeah.
He came down, long red hair down his back, and he said, I'm here. I'm from Marysville, California. I'm going to start a church. I said, you know what? That's good, because as long as people believe what they're doing, I think that's a great idea. Good luck in your church. He said, well, I'm having a hard time because I don't have any money. And I'm thinking, he's going to hit me up.
We've all done you for that.
He said to me, I don't want your money, Mr. Kennedy. You have a building here. You're closed on Sundays.
Can I use your garage?
Can I start my church up in your garage? No, inside.
I did not know that.
He ran every Sunday. The guys would clear all the bikes out, and they'd put all the fold-up chairs. He would have his church where my service department is now for years and years until they raised enough money to get their own little spot. But he all acknowledges that. He walked in and right up to me and said, I'd like to have your building. I said...
that's definitely Fred.
But that's Fred Z.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that some people who don't know him or don't understand this side of him, you can be thoroughly offended by OPD and the sword, but until you understand who Fred is and how Fred is and how firmly he holds his belief in God and his ministry and how hard he works at it, then you get that next layer of incensed over you did what to who.
Brother, we've got to put you on a hold here. We got another caller coming in.
No, you can talk. I'm just checking something out right now.
Let me stop and listen for a while.
He's up in not Vegas, but maybe Nevada. Where the heck was that?
Let me stop and listen.
Someplace. Same hotel as one of the larger heavy duty motorcycle clubs. He came walking right up to the middle of them, and they said, who do you think you are? Who do you know? He said, I know Bill Kennedy, mister. They called me up, and they said, who's this little religious guy if you're dropping your name? I'm like, oh, God, Brother Z, what are you doing? Not an ounce of fear in him. I know Bill Kennedy. They all started laughing. Said, come on in. You must be okay.
Yep.
Merlin? That's something only Z would pull
you
away.
Yes,
yeah, please pass on my extreme respect to your brother Steve.
And
yourself, too. I mean, you know, the Bianco brothers out in California. Thank you for what you've done.
Thank you very much. We are always surprised that somebody thinks of us in nice ways, because very often we know who we are, and we don't think of us in nice ways.
Merlin, weren't you real guys really big in the 40s and the 50s?
Oh, yeah, me and Benny Goodman, we were just like this.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm the one that ran around going, no, I'm Steve's younger, cuter, smarter brother. He's the one that looked and said, no, that's my brother, Santa Claus's younger brother.
I was at Danny Deal's funeral. You were at Danny Deal at the Solo Angels, and your brother showed up. He had a cane. How's his physical health? Because he looked like he's been battling for a while, brother.
Let's put it this way. The 60s were not very good to him. He spent just enough time in Vietnam to come out with 2 Purple Hearts and 2 Bronze Stars. He was with 20 Brigade Engineers, and that cane has to be a souvenir. He was very, very badly broken, both legs, both shoulders, and I think it broke his lighter in his pocket, too. But as he was sitting in the hospital in Da Nang, waking out of the anesthetic, some little donut dolly came up to him and said, gee, are you hurt? And he kind of said, well, you know, not really. And then she said, what happened? And the problem with asking a Bianco what happened is we come up with smart-ass remarks. And he said, well, there I was getting out of the limo, and somebody said there was free cold beer, and I got trampled. He intended, and she wrote it down. It became part of the official history until his unit commander. He was attached with 1st Cav, and he was 20 Brigade Engineers. And his unit commander saw that and was asked to comment or just sign it and pass it along. And he wrote down the official story, and it was serious combat, and it would be 25 years before I understood from Steve what happened. But
Merlin, your brother and I have known each other for so many, many years. Your brother never once
Not once.
Never once mentioned what happened in the war. I knew, of course,
no.
He was the same mayor of Vietnam.
No. And
never
and
once.
I don't...
That was something he, not that he was ashamed of it, he just kept it all
no.
to himself. He never
no.
took
it,
that
it,
in a...
It, it wasn't that he was ashamed. He just went in a he just went off in a different direction.
He never
VA
used that to, hey, you know, feel sorry for me or, hey,
yeah,
I'm so
no,
cool or nothing.
No, he never did that.
He absolutely just said, that was part of my past. That's what I
yep,
did.
Yep.
Volunteered to go over there. And that's
no,
the way that went.
No, he, I volunteered. They drafted him, sent him over, and then said I couldn't go because they already had one of us.
Oh,
but,
I was drafted too. I went crying.
Yeah, but he got drafted.
Hold a second. We got another call coming
sure,
in here.
Sure.
Where you at?
Yeah, right here.
Caller, you out there? You alive?
Oh, hold on one second. Hold on one second. The 760 number, is that you, Ken?
Yeah, that's me, man.
Okay, hold on one second.
All right.
Evo, is that you, brother?
Hey, Philip, what's up, man?
Not much. You might want to just listen to this conversation, and then we'll talk to you after these guys. But this guy's calling in from England.
Yeah, man.
Ken, you
listening.
Back on?
Really
you
interesting
got
the... stuff.
Ken, you're alive. You got the floor.
Oh, cool. How you doing there, guys?
We're doing fine. Tell us what's going on, because you got an event coming up, and it's really close, buddy, really close.
Yeah, Sunday at 1 o'clock at your shop there, Bill. So we're doing a celebration of life for an old firefighter buddy of mine and Jack Goslin. He was the fire chief at Avalon Fire over on Catalina Island. Spent 40 plus years over there as a firefighter.
Wasn't he in the Air Force also, brother? He was a veteran
yeah,
in the Air
Force.
Yeah, he was a
firefighter. Yeah, he was a firefighter in the Air Force,
okay. And
then got out in 1962, went to work for Catalina, or Avalon Fire Department, which is part of L.A. County Fire.
And he worked his way all the way up to chief, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a big
and, chief. And he passed away in November, of cancer that he had been fighting shortly after he retired in 02.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a funeral for him over in Catalina, and they named the fire station over there.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So what's the itinerary going to be going on Sunday? Can you give us a breakdown of what's going to happen, who's going to be speaking, a little this, a little bit of that, please?
Sure. The mayor is going to be there, Jim Wood. Tentatively, the fire chief and the police chief will be there. I don't think we have received confirmation on that yet. Pastor Z from Rushing Wind Ministries is going to be speaking. We're going to have some pipe and drum corps there, and just going to let people get up and talk about him. You know, those that knew him and knew him well, his son Jack Jr. will be there with his 2002 firefighter edition of Ultra Classic that is a tribute to the people who passed on September 11th, 2001, and should be a nice gathering of old friends.
Now, listen, when the event is over, like 1 or 2 o'clock, and I've asked all the political speakers 10 minutes, if they could, please. When it's all over, is everybody going to go home, or what's the little ride plan, don't they, brother?
Well, there's tentatively a ride plan to Dana Point,
mm-hmm.
where they will throw lays in the bay at Dana Point, hopefully that they will make their way eventually to Catalina Island.
Yeah, I don't understand about the way the current will pull it that way north. And then,
well, we're hoping. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know much about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your organization, sir?
Which one is that, Bill?
The American Legion Riders, sir.
American Legion Riders. Yeah, we started a post about 3 years ago now in Oceanside. Along with the American Legion post that has been here in Oceanside for a while. We have we started with 5 or 6 members, and 3 years later, we've got over 35 members.
Now, the American Legion, that's all across America, right? All the states and pretty much
right.
all that?
Right.
So you're talking about one post of many, many posts in California, and then goes on Arizona, New Mexico, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So, very log in the big wheel, per se, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, the American Legion Riders Area 5, which is San Diego, Imperial, San Bernardino, Riverside, and Orange County, I believe, is the fastest growing group of Legion riders in the country right now. So we got a bunch of good guys that ride.
I have to get with you on that one because I had talked to somebody about that before and they wanted me to come down to a couple of meetings and be involved in that, but I just had too much.
I talked to the American Legion. After you mentioned that last time, I spoke to Ken and I spoke to some of the people. The truth of the matter is they rejected your application. Well, Ken himself said, no, I don't want that guy in here. Don't bother people anymore, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, I was called for a reference on your film.
A reference. I'll give you a reference. Please, I'm called Bill Kennedy. I'll give you a reference.
The Bianco family is deep in American Legion. We go back to my grandfather is one of the founding charter members in 48 and post commander in Des Moines, Iowa. My father was post commander in Palo Alto, California. And I joined a few years back, and I've been all over the western states trying to touch as many American Legion posts as I can. Interesting mix of people in the Legion, and I congratulate you on building a post and the Legion Riders, which is its own special brand of people, because we know bikers are special people. You get a batch of Legionnaires together and the riders, you're dealing with an interesting crew.
Yeah. We had our first annual Area 5 conference in Palm Springs in April or June, and had a real good showing of riders throughout the state. And had a great time. The Legion post out there treated us real well, and we're looking forward to our second annual conference coming up next year.
Ken, I got a couple of riders from 139. That's Escondido. Is that correct, sir?
149 Escondido. Yeah.
Lucky I can figure anything out. They're having a Valentine's dance. They came by and dropped some flyers off to me. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. I'll drop some flyers off to you. So that's coming up Valentine's Day. Big. It's not going to be a poker run. They said it's going to be like a poker walk.
Yeah, there at the Legion in Escondido, they've got this really nice patio grass area out back.
Well,
and they have different shelters or lean-tos, as it were, for each of the different services. And what they do is they have vendors, and they set up in these things, and you go to each one of them, and you spin a wheel, and that's basically how you get your cards. Plus, they're celebrating a birthday for one of the... Smoke, yeah. He's in his 80s. And he's still riding.
Huh? Thanks a lot, brother.
Let me ask you something now. Around April, there should be a new veteran center opening up in Oceanside. Will you have your organization have the meetings down there, or are you going to tie up with that veteran center, sir?
Well, we're all that center is the Vance Center, Veterans Association of North County. And we have 60-plus veterans organizations that will be a part of that building. And we have regular meetings now at the Senior Center up on Country Club Lane, the third Saturday of each month, or the second Saturday, whatever the last Saturday was. Was that first or second? Second Saturday. But we have regular meetings, and this last meeting we had the largest group of veterans groups at that meeting that they have since the inception of this whole thing. And we just got our grant from I can't remember who we got the grant from, but we got enough money to finish our kitchen and our bar in that building. So
most important thing.
You better believe it. Yeah. So so now all we have to do is raise the rest of the money to finish the rest of the building, and we'll be going strong. Hopefully,
let me ask you this.
Hopefully, we'll have it open this year, up and running 100%.
Now, can you also involve with the Wind and Fire putting this run on? Are you doing this guy's this run Sunday, a joint event? I never really asked you guys that. How's that working out this weekend between the Wind and Fire and the American Legion putting this on?
Okay, originally when we started, I mean, myself, Mitch Sandoval, Chief, and a couple of other guys, we needed five members to start a chapter. We were members of the San Diego Wind and Fire chapter, and we were always having to go to San Diego for our meetings, so we decided to start one here in San Luis Rey. I was the, I was and still am apparently the president of the Wind and Fire Chapter 122, as well as being the vice president of the Oceanside American Legion Riders. So, Mitch, one of the gentlemen that's helping with put this thing together for Sunday, is representing Wind and Fire, and I'm representing the American Legion Riders.
Good, 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 good. You know what? Do you want to have Evil E come in? Evil, you're out there, right? Evil E, still in London out there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
This guy's talking about doing this event for his fallen firefighter and all that, mostly all veterans. You want to get any comments about that?
Yeah, I'd like to say it's a real good job and a real good project to be doing, you know?
And a man of few words. Well, the guys in London seem to think you're doing a pretty good job, Ken. That's okay there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Wind and Fire has 170 chapters with over 4,300 members worldwide. I'm sure that we have a chapter in England. You know, I haven't really been that active with Wind and Fire since I got involved with the Legion Riders, but I do get a monthly newsletter from them. But yeah, we should have a very good showing from Wind and Fire on Sunday. John Robbins, who is the founder of Wind and Fire, will be down here. We have a group of the guys from Cal Fire that will be coming over.
I was just speaking to some of the people out at the Fallbrook Fire. A lot of volunteers out there that they said they're all going to try to come down too. I want you to know today I had a visit from the fire marshal today. That's only a couple days away. He walked in. He said, I understand you're doing an event, Mr. Kennedy. And I said, yes, it's being here. He said, will you be handling like you handle the other events? I said, yes, I will. He said, okay, goodbye. Walked out the door.
it was the shortest thing
ever in my life. Well, if you're doing that, okay. Fine. No permits, no nothing. We're all good there, you know?
Right. Yeah, I got a call from Mitch this afternoon saying that he got a call from Rob Dunham, one of the battalion chiefs, who's a member of our chapter of the Wind and Fire, and we do have confirmation that all of our permits will be taken care of, so we will be legal all the way around.
There you go.
Okay.
You know, we're getting ready to take a little break now
A
few seconds here. You want to wrap us up there, right?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, but I want you guys to stay online. I'll leave you live, and I'm going to play a song. Bill and I chose this one, so just listen to the words.
A little bit of our feeling about our good friend Jack, you know.
All right.
Like Guns N' Roses, everybody.
No,
listen to
my
him.
Voice.
Oh, he's up. Sorry. What did I get there? Wait a minute.
Wrong box. We'll be right back.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
boats lie close together, with few miles apart as I. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried, but I guess that's why they say every road has its turn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings the same song.
Let's try that. Was Poison. You know, I kind of like that song because it's kind of sad, but it's kind of nice. Kind of one of those mellow things like that. And Losing Jack kind of reminds me of that. He hung out at my shop so often, it's tough not seeing the guy pull up there. Towards the end, he had to have his wife drive him up in the truck, and then after a while, he just couldn't make it. But he always had a big smile on his face. He was one of the good guys. So hopefully this Sunday we'll have a nice get-together and visit everybody. All right, who do we got on here? Who do we got here?
You got Steve's on there. Evil's on there. And
where do we get that compliment from?
I can bring Jen in. I can bring Jen in.
Yeah, but give me back a second. Where's that compliment you just got? Hang on a second. Somebody just gave Evil a nice compliment a second ago.
Where
they found his voice sexy or something. What was that?
Was Jan.
Jan? Oh, Jan. Oh, Evil, yeah. Did
you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Excuse me, Evil's dialect. Excuse me, not just voice. Oh, okay.
She's on. Jan, you're unmuted.
Oh, okay. Hey, I'm back.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you like about his voice?
Compliments?
So,
for the dialogue.
Well, this is an adult show, Bill. So
no.
Yeah, we can go.
I didn't say sexy. I said I like his dialect.
Yes.
Well, Bill was trying to push for other things here, you know.
You have to understand how many words Bill does not understand.
Oh, usually up to four-letter words. I know them real well, though.
Yeah, but, you know.
Except in more, I kind of lose.
It's a proportional thing, you know. You get enough stuff in your head, and some starts to fall out the other side.
Like my hair, wow. Just falls right out, you know.
Wow.
I would never say that.
Philip really just wanted to bring me on because I just typed to him that I'm watching my screensaver over on this other computer, and it's kind of like pretty colors jumping out at me because I'm doing opiates right now.
That's what I was thinking. The 60s are still very, very good to you, aren't they?
Thank you. Yes, they are. I really enjoy them. You know, I'm in a prohibition state, and so I have to take my jollies from wherever I can get them.
What do you mean by prohibition? You're not allowed to drink alcohol there.
No. Marijuana. Not allowed to drink marijuana.
Yeah, don't drink
or
the marijuana.
Smoke alcohol.
Yeah, it's one of those early rules you learn. Don't smoke the water and don't drink the marijuana.
I thought marijuana is banned right across the United States by federal law.
Ooh, okay.
Is it warm enough for you to ride your bike out there? Or is it still too cold?
Well, the weather's
good out here now.
It doesn't matter to me. The cold doesn't bother me.
Good for you.
Right now, I need to talk to Bill about getting me an ignition, a key ignition switch. Or maybe I'll just...
That's generic enough to any shop there for about $30 maximum. You don't need a Harley-Davidson ignition switch. Oh, sure. What year is your bike, please?
It is a 96 Sporty. 1200.
Yeah, any local shop, aftermarket shop can get that for you, $30. It's not an issue at all.
Cool.
If there's anything difficult, contact me. But
yeah.
No, you all pay... Right. Go ahead, dear.
Next time, Jan, steal the bike with the key in it. That way you don't have to replace it.
You know, this is an educational show. And
remember that if you're in California and if you're carrying a pigtail, you're going to jail.
That's what I was going to say. That, you know, I tuned into Phil and Bill and I found out all about pigtails.
Yeah. The key is to carry the whole pig.
What the hell is this pigtail?
You disguise it. What the hell is what, a pigtail?
Yeah.
Want to lighten the evil with a pigtail is, please?
See, none of us will admit to knowing now.
I'm pushing on you.
Pigtail is kind of like a heavy-duty corkscrew that you can screw into the into the key switch and pop the tumbler and the key unit out and then just work the switch. But you didn't hear it here.
No, you didn't hear it here. Even though I'm sorry to tell you, some of my friends have had a hard life and hard lessons. Mm-hmm.
No, we paid attention to what our other friends got in trouble for.
Well, you know, I don't want my bike to be stolen by anybody.
Yeah. Oh, of
you
course
know,
not.
So,
I wish we never started talking about this on the radio. If we want to do it, we can do it in a conversation. Not really on the radio when every one of
the last bastion of free speech. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, it's not often that I will support any, you know, additional laws. I think that they're already covered, really. But Bill was telling me just the other week that that they have this legislation in California to outlaw just the carrying of a pigtail.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because
there's
it's
a thing.
What about
there's
if it's your motorbike and you need a pigtail to, like, you've lost your key, you can't get into your motorbike.
Well, it's like. A few years back, they outlawed the carrying of a what's called a Slim Jim, which is a very slim, long, hacksaw-like thing with a hook on the end, to go in a door and pop the door open. And yet, if you work for a tow truck company with no licensing, no bonding, no anything, you walk in and buy one. So it's just, instead of punishing the individual male, female, who actually does something wrong, let's go ahead and slam society with another, you know, rule.
I mean, you might need a pigtail one day to get into your bike because maybe the keys got lost or the keys snapped off into the ignition or something, you know?
Yep.
If I were a mechanic,
would you be arrested for stealing your own bike, you know?
Boy, I'd like to take that one to court.
It's like the other one I told you about, Merlin, where the guy got a ticket for when he was warming up his Harley. It was 30 degrees out.
He stepped away from his bike
and got a ticket for leaving a motor vehicle unattended.
Downtown Oceanside.
Which, by the way, police do it all the time, just walk away from their vehicles running.
In fact, I saw a guy at 7-Eleven this morning.
Yeah, it's, but I don't know. This is not my night to slam the cops. I apologize for that.
They've been good to me lately.
Yeah, we're not slamming them. It's just that, you know, damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with those guys.
Well, I was talking with a friend of mine, and funny, I do that a lot, and I was telling him that there's almost impossible to go through a portion of your day without violating some rule or law, something. So it's a matter of who's watching and do they know the laws better than you do, because you'll get caught.
Selective enforcement, right, brother?
Yeah, very much. And
well, you know, it's like in Escondido, right off of 15 there on Valley Parkway. You know how you get off to go east? You know how the road goes around and winds through there?
Yep.
You know where the railroad tracks are?
Yeah, I do.
There's a guy that parks in a car there, Escondido police, and he watches for people on the phone. It's like $300 for the ticket now.
Yeah,
$300.
Yeah.
And he pulls out behind him, and they already know why they're getting pulled over.
And
there's no way you can fight it. You got to pay. It's revenue.
Yep.
It's just damn revenue again.
And the thing is, on the phone with one hand and one ear and half your mind occupied, I'm not real sure I want to be on the road with you either.
No.
Well, yeah, it's like them when you see them driving the car and they're on the phone.
Yeah. And
they should use loudspeaker or an earpiece if they don't want to.
Well, that's what the law allows. If it's a hands-free device, not a problem.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, come on, you go after me on a hat because you don't like the hat I'm wearing, but it's not a problem for a guy with an 18-wheeler and a cell phone, or a 16-year-old with a
70 miles an hour.
You know, yeah. And I'm going, which one of us is more dangerous to the other guy, my hat or his phone? Of course. You know, common sense dictates. But can you see the phone as easy as you can see the hat? So now we get down to, now I understand why. But that's just my opinion.
Merlin, if they ever pass a law that will not allow women to put their makeup going down the road, I may be one of the first ones to say, good for you, buddy.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you know, I'm going to bring something up from the past here, but you remember, I don't know if you remember about
I know what makeup. No.
The woman that got arrested for shaving her cooch while she was driving.
But, you know, there's one.
Up with these things. I got to tell you,
one
yesterday
I
in Florida, Palm Beach, yesterday a girl was driving down the road, cell phone and a cigarette one hand, putting up her makeup. She's driving with her knees. I swear to God it was her knees because I was looking at both hands. And I'm thinking, unbelievable.
I thought you were looking at something else, and you saw that dog drive it. You know, but no, I got it. I had this picture going on, but it is it's Bill, not Phil speaking, sorry. It just gets stupid.
Man, it's CHP be in a whole lot of trouble, I'll tell you that much.
But it does
get stupid. I am sometimes
stupid.
Just misunderstood.
Philip? Philip?
Yes.
What was she doing with her cooch?
Shaving.
What?
She had a date. She was on her way to her date. She didn't have time to... She had time to shower, but she didn't have time to shave.
And on the bright side, she wasn't waxing.
It's the little things that, you know, make things special,
it's,
you know?
Yeah, the little
What's really amazing to me is that somebody...
She cut herself. That was one of the amazing things, too.
But somebody, her, actually thought this was a reasonable thing to do.
Right.
Look at a hair dryer. There's a warning label that says don't take it in the shower. I'm taking a dryer into a water place. That's not a reasonable thing to do. But they had to put a label on because somebody thought it was reasonable and tried to sue the company for electrocution. And I'm amazed at stupid human tricks, I think would be the phrase here.
Merle, hang on a second. Evil, did you understand what they mean by that, shaving their cooch?
Yeah.
Some things are international, Bill.
American word.
Bill, he's not dead. He's not asleep.
He's probably thinking, who the hell? What is wrong with these Americans?
Well, you know, explain to pigtail, so it makes sense. There's a language barrier.
I can understand Jamaican English. I'm sure I can understand American English. I'm always on the internet all the time.
What would be the English word associated with a cooch? What would be a word that you might use over there?
Pussy?
Okay, generic. Okay, never mind. Okay.
Bill was looking for the other one, but that's okay.
No, that's fine.
Some things are international.
Motorcycle show here. You know what? We're just doing good here, you know. Merlin,
Well, you know what, Bill?
Good.
It's our one-year anniversary.
Yeah, we can raise it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You schmucks have been doing this for a year? I'm impressed.
Right. Yeah.
We'd have been doing it longer on AM radio if Bill didn't decide to talk about Communist China, but that's another story.
My AM show screwed. I was a regular on my show until the Communists just irritated me. We won't go on that again tonight. Maybe you guys heard the story, but I said bullshit. That's not going to happen on this show. It's screwed. I was going, our show? We lost our show? Yeah, we lost the show.
Isn't that like the guy on WKRP who got fired for saying booger every time he was on? What the hell?
You guys have lost. Well, you've been fired before, haven't you? What the hell? You know, you make choices.
Sure.
You draw a line to sin, and you say, I'm not gonna cross that line.
And I usually apologize for it.
I just had it up to here, and then the radio show told me that many of their sponsors are from China. And when I back off, and I said,
No.
And they said, you no longer have a show.
Good for you, Bill.
Well, it's just,
you know, it's like Bill told me, sometimes you pick your battles, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, but
there's been quite a lot of controversy this week about China, hasn't there?
You know, I have no idea. I understand why everybody's trying to be friendly. Here I am talking about China. Hell, I'll get it out. I understand China
is the next frontier,
and everybody wants to get in bed with China, but for Christ's sake, look at their human rights record. Look what they did to Tibet. This is stupid.
Bill, they just sentenced the guy. They just sentenced the guy to life in China on Monday for
not paying
the toll to the tune of $500,000 or $832,000. All the human rights organizations thought that was too stiff of a penalty. So they put him under house arrest while the police investigate further, wanting to know where, he asked the cop to where he got the military plates he was using on his 8 trucks.
By putting the military plates on, he was exempt from paying road taxes.
Right.
For all these years, and then they caught him.
Then they caught him.
Holy cow.
How would you like to be in your house the rest of your life? How about those people that won the...
No,
he
was going to be in his house, Bill. They were
house arrest.
In prison. No, they were going to... Now he's under house arrest while they investigate.
Am I forgetting this? Who was the recipient this year of the Peace Prize? Wasn't that a Chinese person?
The Chinese... gentleman...
They're not allowed to receive it. They're not allowed to go pick it up. There's something
wrong...
Oh, no,
he's not allowed out of his prison cell.
What? One thing I have to point out, people make out that Mao Zedong was a big, like, guy and everything. For like peace, and he was this and he was that, and he was a great man. The only thing he ever did was murder a great load of people. In fact, he murdered more than Hitler.
He allowed the Japanese to do things during the latter portion of the war because that would clear the area so that he and his people could come in with less difficulty. So like the Soviets. They just said, we'll just let them all kill each other out, and then we'll go in and take the territory later. Mao Zedong, not a nice man. You don't get to be dictator of China and have, you know, roses in your ears either.
He was nothing compared to Stalin, though.
Yeah.
Stalin murdered by the millions. But let's get back to
the
Hollywood.
It was a great cartoon during Christmas time. American family was around the Christmas tree, and mom and dad are in their bathrobe, and all the kids are opening the presents. And in the corner was Santa Claus, and his face was Chairman Mao, because all the presents were from China. And I looked at that, and I looked at that, and I'm thinking, man, it's right in front of me. It's all around us, but we're letting China in.
Bill, I got news for you. You know, the United States government decided that with NAFTA, a lot of the stuff that I'm putting on the military ships today, today, as a matter of fact, I looked at a box of valves and stuff that were made in China. I looked at another box that was made in Mexico. I have yet to see in the last 6 months anything from the United States being put on the ships.
Outsourcing, outsourcing Americans on the street with no house, no money, and yet we keep doing it. Because the stinking rich make the money.
What?
We're saying, Evil?
How much stuff is Mexico actually, like, shipping out and selling? Because, you know, I've never seen too much here. I was actually wondering about that, you know? And
they ship out a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
So would you say the Mexican economy is getting pretty big now?
It's getting big and stronger. They're only second in the economy in their country to the drug cartels.
That's correct.
I'm just reading about that, actually, why we were speaking now, actually, about South American, Central American, and Caribbean drug cartels, about their tactics of destabilizing governments. And all these drug cartels leading some way to terrorism in some way, they reckon.
Well, if you're after a profit and you don't care what the rules are, there you go. Woodward and Bernstein had it right. Follow the money.
Well, you know, I got to disagree with some of you guys here. I think the drug cartels and terrorists are absolutely two separate entities. The drug cartels are almost, they're out to make money.
Yeah, it's
terrorists are out to make a statement. When you're all about capitalism, that's what drug cartels are about. They don't want terrorists running around screwing up with their money. So I think there really is two different things. Rarely do you hear of terrorists in Mexico. The drug cartels will just kill them.
I agree, Bill.
So is there any kind of Robin Hood situation going on there?
No.
No.
Because I have to tell you, in Brazil, the drug traffickers there, they actually have a nickname and then call themselves Taliban. They're guerrilla fighters against the police. Guerrilla tactics,
well,
like Taliban.
You can make yourself try and sound socially acceptable, but it still is robbing and stealing and murdering and kidnapping, and, you know, good PR is still good PR.
But the underlying current is the fact they're making money.
And that's all.
They're not
making friends. They're not making voters. They're making money. And the rest of it just doesn't count.
Mind you, the Taliban are drug dealers anyhow, aren't they?
Well, that's all right. So is the CIA. You know, by the
Evil Merlin and I, Screwdriver, we've been so many years in Mexico. There's never a problem for us. They don't worry about tourists. They're not worried about. They're worried about other drug cartels.
Yeah.
And then you got to use a little common sense. Maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, you shouldn't be down on Revolution Street.
Yeah.
So absolutely, and Merlin, correct me on this. Have you ever been arrested or hassled in Mexico?
No. No.
No.
In the early 60s, in the mid-60s, a few of us went down. We used to go down to a particular beach and surf, and there was an accident. And it's illegal to have an accident in Mexico. And we ran screaming for the border, you know, paranoid we were going to get caught and arrested for one of the guys having an accident. But that's about as close to a trouble I ever had, except for a bartender who was extremely over-exuberant. And then the time I crossed the border it was with you, Bill, and a few others from the Coyote Cafe, and I had the bottle of
Kahlua. You were on your own motorcycle. You weren't really with me. We were just together. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. Good notice. I had a bottle of Kahlua that was leaking out of my back box.
People were looking for straws?
The border patrolman was real interested in me on that one, because I'm pouring alcohol out the back box of the bike, but... his big question was, did I have more than $10,000 on me, $10,000 in cash? And I just looked at him and said, if I had $10,000, would I be going back into the United States? But, you know.
That Kaloof was just coming out and coming out. And I remember you saying, he said, do you have any alcohol? And you said, no. And I said, I yelled my bike behind you, except for all the alcohol that's coming out the back of your bike. And you looked at me and went,
you know,
except for that.
Yeah, and you and Kathy had, Kathy had bought Kahlua, and I had both your bottles because I had the back box, and I had everybody's alcohol on mine. You're allowed to carry one, and I had nine. But, you know, once they understood it was oh, it's Bill's alcohol? Oh, no problem. if you remember Bruce, the border patrolman who rode with us a lot, he was the only one who ever got hassled at the border. Because he couldn't go through the border without them ripping his motorcycle apart. It was funny.
He was always suspicious.
They didn't trust him. No,
he was happy. He was never comfortable in Mexico. He was always high strung.
But I went on a honeymoon into Mexico. Got lost. Had to enter twice. But that's the border, across the border twice. Let me rephrase that. But
exactly. Evil, have you ever been down to Mexico?
No, I haven't. I don't intend to right about now.
Man, how about you?
I go to Brazil, I go to Jamaica, but, you know, I know the score in those places.
Uh-huh.
But, know Mexico, as you're saying, you know, if you don't know what you're doing down there, you don't go.
That's true.
Well,
I answered.
But, you know, it's different in Brazil and Jamaica. A lot of the violence and the drug trafficking and the factions are actually drug or, they're not just drug related, they're political related. Like Dodd's Coke, he was actually sanctioned by the ruling party, believe it or not. That's why it took the United States 3 years to extradite him.
Jan, what about you? You been down to Mexico at all?
Yes, I have been to Mexico in the early 70s.
Mainland or Baja? Do you know where you were at?
Both. Actually, wait a minute. No. Tijuana several times, and then riding in a Volkswagen Beetle, you know, the old-fashioned bug.
They're still new. Did you have a flower on the antenna or anything, you know, plastic flower?
Probably. There was... And you know, we rode down into the Baja, and it was really cool. It was a neat ride. It was interesting going over the bridge in Mexico and looking over to the right hand side. You suddenly saw, and this is back in the 70s. I don't know how it is now, but you suddenly see a cardboard cities,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they were very prominent back then, weren't they?
With
They're
the
still
open
there.
Sewerage.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids coming up begging.
Well, that's like that. We were riding in the rain back from the Mardi Gras in Ensenada, and a guy decided he was going to take off, and he was winging around the corner, actually the curve, and. About 100 feet past that curve is a little road and a ditch that had turds and everything else flowing in it, and that's where he went. And we all stopped and said, are you okay? Yes. He stuck his hand out, and everybody told him, you're on your own.
Yeah. We're gonna laugh about this now. You will laugh later.
Right.
Jeez.
Well, Ronnie, you may remember, without saying the organization's name, for 10 years I was very involved and committed with the Mexican organization, though I can't speak Spanish. So having that on my back always made me feel like I'm okay. You white boys are in big trouble, but I know I'm okay.
You know, when I got married about 10 years ago, remarried 10 years ago, my wife and I went into Mexico for our honeymoon. We crossed the border at Tijuana, and we went to the El Rio Hotel, which is a great place. And because I had on one of that outfit's T-shirts when I went up to the counter and said, oh, yeah, I have done the toy run and a few things, and I knew a few of the people, and they knew me. He proceeded to take the very nice room that we had reserved and upgraded it about three levels up, cut the price again because of that affiliation with the club, and then assigned a guy into the parking lot to make sure nobody screwed with my motorcycle all night.
I love America more than anything, but when I cross the border, I have a blanket of security around me.
Yeah.
I've always felt good. If you ever go to the, my old guys, if you ever go to the clubhouse, there's a picture of 100 Mexicans in that club. And they love to show people, how's your eyesight? Oh, pretty good. Why? Pick out the white guy. They go, there is a white guy in there. What the hell's he doing in there? We don't know. For 10 years, he ran with us, though.
Yeah.
And my picture's still down there today, but that
well,
was Dennis's now.
Danny
hey,
Deal
you know
was...
what I think? You know what I think Mexico would be like now? You ever seen the movie Extreme Prejudice?
Yes.
Ah.
That's exactly what I think it would be like now.
Hmm.
Evelyn, did you like Jamaica?
Yep, I'm going back there real soon, you know.
Where are you going? Ocho Rios? Runaway Bay?
Pardon, I can't hear you.
Oh, Ocho Rios, Runaway Bay. Where are you going?
Kingston.
Kingston. Yeah, because the other two are Jimmy Buffett songs, aren't they?
Jimmy Cliff.
Evil, one
Jimmy,
of the...
Jimmy Cliff, sorry.
Evil, one of the missions in my life, I've never been to Mardi Gras in Rio de Janeiro. Have you been down there?
Yeah, once.
Well... Go again, call me. I'm dying to go. We go down to Ensenada. Mexico is a very strict Catholic country, believe it or not, except they kill each other all the time. So it's a little more subdued. But,
I go to Rio all the time, you know. But
I'm practicing my samba dance.
A lot of parties
I'm ready.
We do are kind of like private sort of parties, you know.
Hmm.
Well, we have those kind of
like
parties, too. It's called the Mardi Gras.
Parties. Yeah.
I've been practicing on my samba. I'm not great, but I'm pretty good. I got the moves. I'm ready to go someday.
Yeah,
oh, hey, I have to tell you about the race I won in Jamaica.
Oh,
you're
please
gonna,
do.
You're gonna
yeah.
Feel free to embellish it any way you want, okay?
I think I'll tell. I can tell the truth, and it will sound embellished, which is
good story.
Okay, let's see. If you go over to where the falls are, they have waterfalls in Jamaica.
Oh, waterfalls! We thought you said balls.
Boy, you guys aren't paying attention.
and you go to this party on the beach that they have every Friday night or Saturday night or whatever. Well,
is that clothing optional?
I don't know.
Please, Phil, keep your clothes on.
The gutter.
Don't drop Jim, listen to you. Go ahead, dear.
Yeah, so anyways, they said, hey, we're going to have the races pretty soon. Do you want to sign up? And I said, sounds good to me. Sign me up. Of course, I'd already had been drinking rum for 5 days straight. So I asked, what kind of races are these? It's goat races.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear that. You were cut off. What type of races, Jan?
Goat races.
Goat
races.
Goat races. And so they say, yeah, what you have to do is we'll assign you a goat. This is kind of like Jamaica's version of NASCAR. Okay, they'll assign you a goat, and it has a rope on it, and you have to run with the goat. First one over the finish line wins, and, you know, it's real money. I mean, you bet on people. You bet on who do you think is going to win. And so I said, put all the money on me to win this one. So... because I was in shape and everybody else was like not. So this little Jamaican kid, he must have been 8 years old. He comes up to me and he says, that's my goat. And you've got a winner of a goat here. And what what I'll do is I guarantee it's going to win. And I said, double my bet then. and any extra money goes to this kid. And he loved that, of course. And he goes, I've got my secret weapon. I go, well, what's that? He says, just before they blow the whistle, I raise the goat's tail and slap this rag that's been doused with gasoline on its ass.
And why are we laughing at animal cruelty?
Yeah, just thinking that myself. But hey, we're
so
down
weird.
To
it's just so weird. You know, it's a different culture.
Yeah, I mean, first off, you get drunks.
I always
betting on drunks with goats.
Judgmental of other people. Appreciate a different culture. Never be judgmental.
Absolutely. Some drunk wants to bet on you. By God, tell him to double the bet.
Well, in Mexico, they have the bullfights still.
Yeah.
Merlin, you and Jan, I fought the bulls. On my 50th birthday, I fought two bulls.
And the rest of us just shoveled it for a while.
Thank God. We have all kind of pictures and videos and everything. I fought two bulls over a course of an afternoon. And
that's no bull.
And I got all kind of pictures, thank God.
Yeah, because I've heard this legend before.
Yep.
But I kind of, to me, it kind of fits into the Easter Bunny pile of stuff.
Well, I had to have the pictures.
Yeah.
Don't want to believe me.
Yeah.
I went down to see
the
bullfight, and friends of mine had paid to have me go out. They called my name. I thought they wanted me to hand out trophies. That's all I do. I'm a talker. I speak. And I went out there, and they handed me a cape. And I'm, wow. I said, do you speak English? He said, yes. Any help, any instruction, he said, way too late for that.
Yeah,
and
stay away from the sharp part.
I went on and on, but I fought two bulls that day, and I'm still here.
There's one thing I wanted to do, and I don't know if you've heard that, Merlin, if you've heard that song Ride by Charlie Baker?
Yes.
A good friend out of Tennessee.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to dedicate this to your buddy, and
we've got
about... just enough time for it to play. We thank everybody for joining us. I'd like you guys to stick around and listen to it. Listen to the words. Listen to the music. And
to all of our friends, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for being our friends, because without you, you'd just be Screwdriver and I, and that would be a sad picture.
That's a
terrible
thing to waste. Thank you, Bill. Thanks, Screwdriver.
Happy anniversary.
Desert air is good on my face.
All right, Bill, we're down to 45 seconds. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody. Take care. Thanks again to all of our friends. Good night.